Ode Global Media News. WWR. Old Westbury Web Radio.
Itself, but it's different from Facebook. gives recommendations to more set of users what we interested in, instead of giving them the most accurate information. So that's the one thing that news has that benefits over other platforms.
Do you think that news can compete well with our aggregators being by Google and Facebook? Saying we're always ready with our next report on the launch of another new website this summer. This one has a special theme for audience to log in on. It's called the 19th. Shannon, why is the publication called the 19th?
The 19th Amendment granted women to vote. There is an asterisk in the publication to make them know that they are expanding past the amendment. This is what every woman wants, every woman in the nation.
Do you think this will help change the view that men have toward women?
I think over time, yes. I see a slight change. Throughout history, it's been a group that we are less than men, so it will take time to reverse that thought. We also need to unfortunately give proof as to why we matter among the headlocks. We can't be on tier two anymore.
What is one example of a woman's idea of being pushed to the side?
Emily Ramshaw, the brains behind the 19 publications, stated in Texas Monthly that she had women tell her to come through with emails. As a journalistic publication, there were their first ideas to go. They were pitching ideas about gender roles, equity, but the men don't want to listen. We'll read that. So they were always taken off the top board and pushed to the side. Men control a lot because that was the role that was given to them, not by women, it was given to them by other important men. Brandon NPR stated that 70% of reporters and editors are men. The fact that it's going way over the stories that we read, no matter what gender it's about, was mostly women. They can't write on how we feel. They can't write on what we go through. They don't understand. Both Ramshaw and Amanda Zamora, she works for ProPublica, decided to make the website nonprofit, so the whole reason the 19th would be lost. The whole reason this was born is to give women an outlet, where they are heard and understood. They know it'll be written by a woman for a woman. They don't want any distracting heads taking the readers away from what's actually important. This website is officially launching in August of 2020. Women just want to be taken seriously. For Global Media News, I'm Shannon Drillo. Back to you, Jay.
Thank you, Shannon. So this important tool that everybody is actually asking about is actually drones that can be controlled by humans themselves. And the way they help scientists collect their data is very important, very efficient. We're just going to touch upon that more in a second.
What is climate change and how is it affecting us now?
So climate change is a change in global or regional climate patterns. It is the result of increased levels of atmospheric carbon dioxide produced by the use of fossil fuels. Humans play a huge part in increased levels because of all the tools used that burn fossil fuels. According to globalchange.gov, a federal program mandated to coordinate federal research on forces shaping the global environment, many lines of evidence demonstrate that the human activities, especially emissions of heat-trapping greenhouse gases from fossil fuels, combustion, deforestation, and land use change are primarily responsible for the climate change that's observed in the industrial era, especially over the last 6 decades. This is an example of how humans contribute to the climate change business. Human activities have been the main contributor of human-caused global warming. It has been proven that the industrial era has had a 40% increase of global warming. According to the New York Times, Antarctica's peninsula reached 64.9 degrees Fahrenheit, or 18.2 degrees Celsius, breaking the previous record of 63.5 degrees set on March 24, 2015. The record high appears to be associated with a regional form described as a rapid warming of air coming down a slope or a mountain. Ice glaciers melting isn't the only thing that climate change happened. Unpredictable temperatures, sea levels increasing, deforestation, the death of many animals are all happening as we speak.
What are drones and how are they helping us against the battle of climate change?
So drones are typically unmanned aircrafts that are made of light composite materials. This allows drones to cruise at extreme high altitudes to collect data. According to DroneZone.com, a website specifically catered to drone usage, drones are equipped with different state-of-the-art technologies such as infrared cameras and GPS and are controlled by remotes. These robots are a huge factor for researchers studying climate change because of the accessibility drones have that humans don't. Drones are able to get researchers the information they need without the potential risk of harming themselves. According to WeFilm.org, a non-profit international organization that engages in global economic and industrial agendas, perhaps the most common way in which drones help fight climate change is by assisting with data collection. Drones are also ideal for collecting information on air quality, monitoring wildlife population and the activities, and calculating deforestation rates. Using drones for the last legs of delivery of small items potentially offering a massive reduction in carbon dioxide. What I just said shows how effective drones are in reducing the carbon dioxide intake. Drones not only can be used in the sky, they also can be used in the water to see how climate change is affecting our oceans. According to the New York Times, the combination of drone imagery with maybe 3D modeling and interactive graphics, we can use the drones to create a narrative in the piece. Drones are being considered as the tool to slow down climate change. According to Bay Forest Trust, we can make a significant difference in reducing carbon emissions, particularly in areas where logging is an ongoing threat. Bay Forest Trust and our partners found that drones can be an invaluable tool to help us ensure that protected areas stay protected. So Bay Forest Trust, like I said, is an organization that protects and fights to conserve wildlife and wild rainforests, and they themselves are using drones to kind of collect data and achieve data that they use really to provide the solution. So what I'm hearing is that using drones are also going to be explained if the very next thing in fighting climate change.
What are some temporary solutions to reduce the increase of climate change?
Although there has been a lot of damage done because of climate change, there are still many ways we can slow down the process. Some damages that are clearly affecting us today are the rise in sea levels, ice glaciers melting, pollution, etc. According to National Geographic, a global non-for-profit organization, improvements on energy efficiency in vehicle fuel economy increases in wind and solar power, biofuels and organic waste, setting a price on carbon and protecting forests are all parts of ways to reduce the amount of carbon dioxide and other gases trapping heat on the planet. Researchers are trying to have humans incorporate these methods into everyday lives to help reduce the intake of carbon dioxide. So simple things as riding the bus instead of taking cars to work or riding a bike help reduce this carbon dioxide fixates that are being burned as you guys are spending this money on gas and driving these far places. According to Greenfield's Trust, an organization that fights to protect the great forest, we hope the global usage becomes ridiculous, playing an increasingly larger role in the fight against deforestation, degradation, and climate change. So as I said before, Greenfield's Trust is an organization that helps protect these rainforests, and they themselves are using drones to try to collect these data and retrieve information which researchers all over the world are doing. So drones are going to be the next step in terms of fighting climate change, and I just can't wait to see the difference they make. But we're going to release from Jamie Terro back to you.
Thanks, Jalen. We are being watched. Surveillance is a big part of modern life, and digital revolution is creating new ways to keep an eye on people. There is a new facial recognition software called Clearview AI. This is attracting a lot of attention. Natalia Ventura is our new media newsroom reporter covering this topic. Natalia, why does this new software have AI as a part of their program?
Thank you. This Clearview Corporation is the term AI. It stands for artificial intelligence with a very high quality of its program.
Who can access the Clearview software?
This company shares their facial recognition software mainly with law enforcement. This software has been a tool used with many law enforcement agencies such as COPS, FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, and approximately over 600 agencies have the Clearview AI equipped.
Should law enforcement agencies hesitate using Clearview?
Yes. Law enforcement agencies should hesitate when using the software because not only does it give information on who they are looking for, but also other information regarding ongoing case. There is also concern for privacy and cybersecurity when using this Clearview software, which New Jersey's Attorney General, Gurbir Esquivel, seems to understand because he discontinued the police officer's use of Clearview. The company even developed a promotional video that shared information about criminal prosecutions that were still in progress, unknown to the New Jersey Police Department. But let's hear from a CNN reporter asking the Clearview CEO, Tom Tapp, if he understood what Clearview was doing. Also stated on their website is that they may email you regarding any changes made to the terms of service. However, they are not obligated to notify you. So if they do make any changes to the terms and conditions, they technically do not have to notify you. And so if you disagree with them, they could possibly use any information of your case for their company benefit. Lastly, their privacy policy also stated that after the request of the user has been fulfilled, then most of the information will be deleted. But Clearview is required to hold some information. But what do they intend to do with the information they collect from the team? For Global Media News, I'm Natalia Ventura. Back to you, Shannon.
Thank you, Natalia. Put down that phone. Have you spent too much time staring at a screen today and every day? Do you need a digital detox? Many people think so. But if we all turn off our phones and stop binging, how can the media sell our attention to advertisers?
Digital detox, or as a trace trending, is a fad where millions of viewers actually stop the digital content binge that consumes us. What the media business's model and the advertising business model depends on spending our lives in front of multiple screens. The media sells our attention to advertisers for big profit. Most of these organizations make the most of the money from advertising revenue advertising industry is concerned. Chantel Smith is here to explain. Chantel, you have been reading the advertising industry trade plus about this issue. What is the digital detox?
Digital detox is more specifically social media. Like any other detox, this action is used to rid your mind and body of things that can be meaningful to consuming information.
Why are people choosing to digital detox?
Well, according to the New York Times, people are getting wary of the constant stream of alerts on their phones and are struggling to make it through it without checking their screens. This detox pretty much allows people the opportunity to reduce stress and focus more on interactions with others. And it can also help with an addiction to tech devices.
What is the concern with advertising companies and brands?
If you think about branding and how it reaches us, it's through some sort of device. You can't watch a TV show, scroll through an app, and play a game without some form of advertising. Now that people are consciously stepping away from the screen, how are brands supposed to reach their consumers? Advertising companies are fearful that this detox trend will sever their lines of communication and ultimately more sales and productivity.
How are brands transforming their companies to meet the trend?
Well, advertisements are now being made to encourage family time. The Domino Pepper Company created the Pepper Hacker, which is a device that automatically disables surrounding Wi-Fi to help families with dinner time. Apple has equipped their devices with various sleep express software. And GE has even created CC light bulbs, which are designed to prevent harsh light from interrupting natural rhythms in the brain. As you can see, the company is mentioning innovative ways to reach a consumer based on a need and desire. So like these brands, other companies will have to find a way to reach a consumer where they want to be reached. For Global Media News, I'm Chantal Smith. Back to you, Jeff.
Thanks, Chantal. Let's keep talking about digital advertising and marketing with Diana Pimentel. Social media marketing is big business, and markets are always exploring new ways to reach their target markets. One of the most exciting target markets for brands are the Gen Z consumers. They don't watch as much TV, they don't read newspapers. What do they do on their phones? Diana brands and marketers seem very interested in a popular platform that packed with the biggest Gen Z audience. What is this popular platform? How are their brands and markets using it?
Thanks, Jalen. So, TikTok is the short-form video app that's best known for its viral dance challenges, and it's popular among teenagers and young adults who are part of Generation Z. According to the app analytics site Sensor Tower, the app has been downloaded more than 1.5 billion times, and 69% of its users are between the ages of 16 and 24, which is Gen Z. Brands and marketers are using it because Gen Z aren't reading newspapers or watching TV on their phones all day, but they don't want to see ads popping up all the time. So TikTok is sensitive about how much ads they put out. Gen Z, they'll like scroll through Instagram or look on YouTube, and basically every 5 minutes an ad will pop up. With TikTok, they try to eliminate that, so they won't get away as much.
Why do companies want to reach the young TikTok audience?
Companies need to see what teenagers are into these days so they can advertise their products, and what better way to do that than on the app? Most likely, teenagers will buy something if they see their favorite celebrity promoting a product. For example, during the Super Bowl, there was a commercial for Sabra Hummus, and there were a bunch of different celebrities in that commercial, but two of them were TikTok celebrities. Sabra probably saw that how popular they were on TikTok and thought it would be a good idea to put them in their commercial because they know teenagers would see it and hopefully buy their product.
Why is working with influencers an effective marketing tool?
Companies are starting to work with influencers because they have a deep, direct, and authentic connection with the social media community, and they have developed new formats to entertain and influence their dedicated fans. TikTok influencers are helping brands reach new audiences in a way that they didn't think was possible. They are helping the brand to tell their story in an authentic way. Influencers want to know why they have followers because then they could lose their popularity, and this generation loves to share content that is funny and entertaining. So if brands want to be a part of this community, they'll have to put out ads that are funny and entertaining. They should focus on fun trends that include Gen Z with the product or brand. But at the end of the day, it's just like marketing in any other way. But the voice of Gen Z is so big that if a brand
content policy. It disrupts the growing YouTuber business model. Content creators are monetizing their channels and attracting huge audiences, but they all have to play by the rules of YouTube's content policy. They are all subject to changes in YouTube's algorithms that change whose videos come first at the top of the page. There's new conflict between one category of YouTubers and their fears about losing money when changing the rules change. One big issue in kids watching YouTube. What should they be watching, and should YouTube channels for kids profit off of dubious content? Alex Prudencio is on the YouTube and Gaming Beat for us this week. Alex, how popular is gaming content on YouTube? How many kids are watching? And is this big business for the YouTube gaming channel?
YouTube gaming content is extremely popular for the industry and in branding itself, as I'd say 44% of awareness for gaming content is searched on YouTube, and it's extremely important to how the industry grows. YouTube is responded by allowing more brand safe, more mature YouTube advertisement to be shown, similar to how like movie theaters or how more explicit content websites show their advertisements to.
How it affected YouTube?
It affected YouTubers by making them change their content by censoring out more of their curse words, by changing their content, or simply YouTubers just dying out simply because they couldn't keep up with the content.
How big of an impact this has on YouTube?
It changed so much content that even for Google themselves, as they were trying to step into gaming content such as Stadia, and one of the key games that they had was games like Mortal Kombat, where they needed more awareness on their games, and ultimately it was hurting themselves in the long term. Thank you, Shannon.
Thanks, Alex. Corey Studio is on Streaming Beat in the New Media Newsroom. Streaming services like Netflix seem to be taking over the world. What are the consequences for the competition in sport? What are other forms of entertainment media are threatened by the increasing dominance of the on-demand streaming platforms?
The other forms of entertainment that are threatened by the dominance of live streaming platforms are movie industries and cable companies. The increasing upward trend in growth and popularity of streaming services is affecting the business of the old traditional cable and media industry by offering the latest movies and television shows for a cheaper monthly subscription. The allure of these streaming services cater to a large market by essentially selling convenience. But convenience isn't really fragile in the reasons why consumers are enjoying their popcorn and movie on the couch versus the movie theater.
Can we possibly see the end of movie theaters within the next 5 years?
With Netflix, Disney+, Hulu, Amazon Video, and YouTube being the leading names in the film industry and certain streaming services, I don't think that the movie industry will die in the next 5 years because, you know, there's still something that is very attracting about the movie theater experience and being in that environment sitting with a whole bunch of people, and also the sound that you might get in the IMAX and things that you won't be able to get at home, that experience. So I don't think in the next 5 years we will see the decline of movie theaters, but it's an epic market.
We are seeing the decline of cable. How can cable companies adapt?
So a cable company like NBC's motion picture streaming service Peacock ended this spring of 2020. If more cable companies start to do that, start getting into the streaming industry by offering their content and media through only streaming services or offering a streaming package that offers this, then the cable companies can definitely adapt that way and stay alive.
What are some other benefits of the streaming industry?
With the streaming industry, like I said, you have convenience. You can pause your show. Most streaming services like Netflix don't offer ads, so you don't have to deal with advertisements. If you're watching your favorite TV show, you can binge watch it all you want and not have to worry about advertisements. You can pause it, go get something to drink, go use the bathroom, whatever. You have that convenience and luxury of just being able to do what you want when you want and have your show, movie, available to you whenever, or opening a news on course to do back to you.
Thank you, Corey. That's it for this week. Many thanks to our producer and engineer, Brendan LaRaja, and thanks again to my co-host, Jalen Otero.
Thanks, today we have the reports from Jalen Otero, Kevin Kelly, Alex Prudencio, Shannon Ludo, Shannon Southwood, Corey Sue, and Italian Ventura, and Lucas Blayden.
Globe Media News is brought to you by OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio. from the Media and Communications Department here at the State University of New York College at Old Westbury.
For Global Media News and resources, check out our latest podcast at globalmedianews.org, where you can listen to all of our webcasts and even subscribe to our podcast.
Follow us on Twitter at OWWRGMN. Use our Twitter feed to keep up with the latest news for aspiring journalists and media professionals. That's at OWWRGMN.